A Daily Dose of Luther is Good for the Soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Most of the time when I am going to interview someone, I know what the topic's going to be. This time, I am guessing as to what the topic is going to be. Chris Roseborough said that this week in Pop American Christianity, we want to talk about the dream destiny thingy doctrine. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out what that is going to be. So I am as much in the dark as our dear listeners are as well when it comes to who and what we're going to be talking about during this week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough. Maybe a good place to begin is, can this claim any roots in, as we're here in Reformation Week, can this claim any roots in the Protestant Reformation, the Reformation of the 16th century? Joining us for this week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday afternoon, Pastor Chris Roseborough, a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
This thing you're calling the Dream Destiny Thingy Doctrine, before you define it, does it have any connection whatsoever to the 16th century Reformation? Can it claim any heritage there?
No, it has absolutely no relationship whatsoever with the Reformation of the Church during the time of Martin Luther. I don't even think it has anything to do with any lucid biblical thought or anything that is even remotely approaching sound biblical exegesis. It is, for lack of a better way of putting it, it is a doctrine that is based upon complete delusions of grandeur. I think that's a good way of putting it.
Okay. What is it, and then who are we going to hear from here?
Okay. The dream destiny thingy doctrine, and this is what I've called it, is a doctrine that teaches that, listen, Christianity really isn't about and doesn't have its terminus or even its focus on the eschaton, the last days, and Christ's return in glory to judge the living and the dead. It doesn't really have to do with eternal life, with Christ and the new. It has everything to do with you achieving some very fuzzy and nebulous dream destiny that God is supposed to lay on your heart, and that supposedly the Bible promises that God is going to help you to achieve. But while God's trying to help you achieve this dream destiny thingy doctrine, because nobody knows what the dream destiny is, you have to actually get some kind of revelation from God telling you what it is, and then you have to, it's even when you do, you're not exactly sure if God's actually revealed it to you or not. But then the whole goal of the devil is the devil's goal is to keep you from achieving your dream destiny thingy, because that's really what the devil's all about. It's a very bizarre doctrine, and oddly enough, it is like all over evangelicalism right now.
Who are we going to hear from here?
We're going to be hearing from Troy Gramling from Potential Church in Central Florida, and he recently preached on destiny at his seeker-driven megachurch, and I'll let him explain what it is apparently Christianity is all about.
Now, we have an adversary, and this adversary wants to make a deal with you and I to keep us from our destiny. See, this is what's so important, is that God created you and I with a destiny. He didn't create us and then say, what am I going to do with humanity? He created humanity on purpose. There are no children that are a surprise to God. We were created on purpose to accomplish something of significance, to live a destiny, a purpose. And the enemy, well, let me show you in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your what? Yeah, great enemy. Who is it? It's the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You could say it like this. Someone to make a deal with. He wants to make a deal with us because he can't stop us from accomplishing our destiny. See, that's the great thing about my job. is I can look at every single one of you, and those of you in the balcony, those of you at our other campuses, those of you sitting over here, those of you in the lobby, I can look at every one of you and say this: you were created to win. The destiny that's in your heart, you can experience, and there's nothing the enemy can do to stop you. He can't keep you from winning. He can't keep you from your dream. What he can do is try to get you to settle for something less. He can try to make a deal with you. And that's what he does. Now, you also need to understand this. How do we accomplish our destiny? How do we get there? The Bible gives us the picture of the people of God, right? And the people of God going from being enslaved to the Egyptians to walking into the promised land. And I've told you before, the promised land is a picture of the abundant life. It's a picture of your destiny. It's a picture of your success.
All right, Chris, take that apart for us, if you would.
Okay, so the idea here is you'll notice that we'll look first at kind of how he's looking at Scripture. Apparently, you know, when we look at the Old Testament, what the Old Testament is it's like a parable. The Old Testament is an allegory that basically is all about you and you achieving your destiny. And so you'll notice that the purpose of Christianity and ultimately the purpose of the devil, at least in his desire to destroy what the works of God, have to do with you being successful in life. Everything is focused on the here and the now. This is kind of like Joel Osteen's Your Best Life Now theology, kind of as it's now playing out in evangelicalism, and as other pastors who've imbibed in that theology take it up and kind of twist it and try to make it relevant to their listeners. So their messages have everything to do with, Christianity is about giving you strategies to overcome the devil's attempts to keep you from being successful, from being happy, from being prosperous, from being healthy, from, you know, having well-behaved children to, you know, loving your job and having a very well-padded savings account. That's really what Christianity has been reduced to in much of evangelicalism. And what Troy Gramling is really describing here is that complete temporal focus that has settled into the seeker-driven megachurches.
Okay, so this is not just some outlier here. This is something, he may be saying it this way, but this is a way of thinking about Christianity and essentially what God's good for that is very common in evangelicalism.
Yeah, no, in fact, I based on what I'm seeing and how many sermons that I've reviewed lately on my radio program from churches across the country and the world, this is basically become the new gospel in Christianity. It really doesn't have anything to do with salvation from sin, death, the devil, eternal life, hell, or anything like that. Hell is basically an allegory of a difficult and troubling suburban lifestyle in the United States of America, and everything is on the here and the now. And you know, the devil has been repurposed. He's no longer trying to, you know, bring you with him into the fires of hell. He's just trying to, you know, do whatever he can and marshal his forces to keep you from achieving whatever dream destiny that God has supposedly, made for you before you were created.
Before we hear the next audio cut, does this have a relationship, or could this be the outgrowth of kind of the four spiritual laws? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, or perhaps in its more recent incarnation, Rick Warren's purpose-driven life.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely related to that. I remember the four spiritual laws and, you know, handing out those tracts. And you're right, it kind of starts off with God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And you kind of wonder when you read something like that, I mean, could you have handed this tract out to the earliest Christians who literally faced death, you know, and, you know, for their confession of Christ? I mean, you know, it makes you wonder. I mean, what if God's wonderful plan for my life is that I'm going to get eaten by lions because, you know, I believe that Jesus has bled and died for my sins? So, yeah, I think this is kind of where this is all going. It became popular in the four spiritual laws, and then Rick Warren took it up, and it's been morphed now by kind of the Joel Osteen prosperity guys, and now this is its latest iteration, and it's And it's so bizarre because it has, it doesn't sound anything like biblical Christianity or the Christianity that was confessed and believed by the Christian martyrs in the as Christianity got rolling.
What's next, Chris?
We're going to listen to Troy in, as he tries to basically demonstrate from the biblical text that this is really what Christianity is all about.
And so if we look at the journey they took from being enslaved, and that's what some of us feel, right? You're enslaved to debt. You're just like, man, I never seem to have enough. I never seem to have breakthrough. We never seem to get to go on that vacation. Or maybe you're enslaved to a relationship that's never what you wish that it would be, or a job where you never get a promotion. The people of God are a picture of the same path we can take from where we're at today to the promised land or the destiny in which God has promised us. Now, the hardest part is for some of us to actually believe that you can enter into the promised land, that you can experience an abundant life. So I want to share some scriptures with you that I've shared on numerous occasions, but I want to remind you once again. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They're plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. How many of you will sign up for that? A future filled with hope, not disaster, but peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God has made us what we are. In other words, we didn't fall out of a tree. We didn't wash up on the shore. He created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he prepared for us to do a long time ago. In other words, he had it in his mind. You can win. You were designed to win.
Chris, is that what any of those verses mean?
No, it's like not even close. And on my program, you know, when we cover stuff like this, when somebody rips verses out of context like this, we remind people of the three rules for sound biblical exegesis, and they are context, context, and context. In Jeremiah 29:11, you know, and this is a famous proof text that evangelicals have really latched onto, but have completely ignored the context of this passage. Jeremiah 29:11 does not give some kind of blanket promise that God basically wants to make you successful, happy, and all that kind of stuff. In fact, Jeremiah 29 itself, and when you look at the context, you'll discover that what you're doing is you're reading somebody else's mail. And that somebody else are the people, the children of Israel, who are the remnant who are in exile. And to kind of give you, and they're in exile in Babylon, to give you a little bit of the context here, after Nebuchadnezzar sacked the Judah and destroyed Jerusalem and, you know, just wrecked the temple, I mean, only 10% of the people of Israel survived that encounter with Nebuchadnezzar. So, and then what Nebuchadnezzar did with the remnant, the people who survived, he marched them from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon, and, you know, many of them died along the way. But those who survived the encounter, you know, they find themselves now being punished by God for persisting in idolatry and sin, and God having to punish them, really for the sake of us, because it's through the children of Israel that the Messiah comes. And so they find themselves in exile, without a temple, and having lost nearly everybody that they know or are related to. And God sends comforting words that this is not a permanent situation, and he does this through the prophet Jeremiah. And so when you get to Jeremiah 29:11, God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. The you there is not us. The you there is the children of Israel in exile. And he goes on to tell them, he says, you know, in the land where I have sent you, I'm the one who sent you there, you know, plant vineyards, have your children marry, and you'll be given in marriage, you know, pray for the welfare of the place that you are in exile. These are all the things that God is commanding them, because he's going to punish them for 70 years and keep them in exile for 70 years because of their impenitence and refusal to abandon their false gods and only worship the one true God. And so he acts in a very powerful way of judgment, and then he's assuring them of his love and his intention for their good. But that is not some kind of a blanket promise that God is somehow, you know, is going to basically say, hey, it's all about you winning in life. And then when you get to Ephesians 2:10, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating that he could read Ephesians 2:10 without reading Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where Paul so clearly writes, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. This is the gift of God, so that no one may boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is a key passage that relates to the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, by everything that Christ has done for us. And he has turned this into, by ripping verse 10 out of context and reading it from some dubious translation, he's ripped this and turned it into some kind of blanket promise that God's all about making you win and helping you achieve some destiny that he's supposed to put on your heart.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about what he's calling today the Dream Destiny Thingy Doctrine. Troy Gramling in Florida, megachurch pastor there, preaching on this. We'll hear a little bit more from Troy Gramling on the other side of the break. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, live this Friday afternoon, October the 30th. Before we hear the third and last cut that we're going to hear from Troy Gramling, I'm wondering about the, because we talked about how it has its roots here, where it has its roots in some of this previous teaching. It's kind of coming to fruition. But I hear a lot of this from the various preachers nowadays, and I know you've talked about this, Chris. Reading the Bible as though it were about me. And that's what seems to be the common denominator here, and especially at work in Gramling's teaching. He'll just pull the passage out and say, this is about, he inasmuch says, this passage is about you, without any intermediate interpretation, history, you name it.
Right, and what's fascinating is that he just assumes this, and nobody challenges this. I mean, it's just the assumed thing. And, you know, Jesus himself in John chapter 5, you know, tells the Jews, he says, you diligently search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life, and yet they are the very scriptures that testify about me, and you refuse to come to me so that you might have life. And then when you read the New Testament actually gives us the hermeneutic for properly understanding the stories of the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, over and again, we learn from the apostles that what happened in the Old Testament is type and shadow. It's, if you would, kind of a precursor or a forerunner or, you know, some kind of way of foreshadowing the life and ministry, sufferings and death of Jesus Christ. And so what happens is that when you approach the biblical text, because we are by nature sinners, and our old Adam, I mean, just does not want to bend the knee, and really it's all about me, that this is what the Reformers call the incurvatus and say, you know, you're bent in on yourself. That we, by nature, approach God's Word, even trying to bend God's Word to be about us, when in reality the Scriptures, according to Jesus, are about Jesus and pointing us to Jesus and what He is doing to save us, and the real hope that we have in Him, which isn't a hope that says, I've bled and died on the cross so that you can have a great career and that your bank account can be well padded here in this temporal and passing life. That's not it at all. Instead, the promises that we have are the forgiveness of our sins and that Christ will supply our needs as we sojourn here in this life. And we look forward to that city whose builder is God. That you find this explicitly laid out in Hebrews 11. And so our hope as Christians has nothing really to do with the here and the now. We have a task now to make disciples, baptize, teach, proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And what we are promised by Christ in this life is persecution, sufferings, and a cross that we need to bear. The theology of the cross really has to do with true suffering. And these are things that Christ has placed on us, and we will not be alleviated from these crosses or these sufferings or persecutions until He returns in glory. So those who teach a theology like this are trying to pull the promises of the eschaton into the present, and they're actually making Jesus into something akin to Santa Claus, and He hasn't made promises like this, and it's a real setup for true failure and despair on the part of those who buy into these lies.
Let's hear a little bit more from Troy Gramling on the dream destiny thingy doctrine.
And then in John 10:10, Jesus is speaking. And look at what Jesus says. I came, Jesus says, so that they, who's they? You, yeah, you and me. So that they can have real and eternal life. This is not just about the by and by. This is about life eternal and life on planet Earth. Better than they ever dreamed of. That's what Jesus said. She said, you know why I came? It's because I want you to win. I want you to have a life that's better than you ever and actually dreamed of. Now, when the people of God went from bondage into the promised land, understand this about the promised land. It impacted every area of their life. It made every area of their life better. Every area of their life better. Their families were better. Their finances were better. Their health was better. Their food was better. Their housing was better. Every aspect of their life improved when they reached their destiny. There is a tendency that when we talk about spiritual things, to think that spiritual things are separate from your real life. The spiritual things are about, you know, holy, holy, kumbaya. You know, that it's just, oh, no, no. When you accomplish your destiny, every aspect of your life gets better. All right? So when we talk about following Christ to our destiny, we're talking about every aspect of our lives.
All right. How would you summarize what he's said there, and how would you respond to it, Chris?
Well, he's twisted passages of Scripture again and made promises that are really not there, and using, I mean, dubious translations or, you know, I would say paraphrases that are not even remotely faithful to the original languages. And he's basically saying, you know, it's all about achieving the promised land. The promised land's your destiny. And when you get there, every aspect of your life is going to get better. Yeah, well, all I got to do is look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm just not as thin as I was when I was 18. I'm not nearly as healthy as I was when I was 18. In fact, I'm starting to get gray hair and looking a little long in the tooth. And I look at the people who are older than me, and the thing I get to look forward to is even more wrinkles, failing health, and death. So if the promises regarding the promised land and the dream destiny here on the, in the temporal is, you know, everything getting better and better, yet I'm heading towards the grave, we've got a major problem here. There's a major disconnect. Apparently God is a liar, or maybe Troy Gramling hasn't rightly understood what the scriptures are really about.
Chris, before we let you go, tell us about your newly unveiled piratechristian.com website.
Yeah, what we did is, we spent the last few months just getting under the hood and completely revamping and redesigning the Pirate Christian website. And in fact, we've even shortened the URL. You can now get to us at piratechristian.com. Complete facelift, and now we have really the platform for, you know, adding new media and really expanding the way in which we're serving the body of Christ through our broadcasts, our writings, and other things that we're making available at our website.
Folks, you can check out the new website for Pirate Christian Radio and Fighting for the Faith this weekend at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you again.
Thank you.
Here is what the reformer, 16th century reformer Martin Luther, has to say, and this is from Reformation Day in our Issues, Etc. book of the month. Through faith in Christ, therefore, Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness, and all that he has becomes ours. Rather, he himself becomes ours. One of the insights from the 16th century reformer that you will find every day in this devotional book called Day by Day with Martin Luther from Concordia Publishing House. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for October. Give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, and order Martin Luther Day by Day or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. In hour two of Issues, Etc., Issues, Etc., Reformation Week continues and concludes. We'll talk about the challenge to Lutheranism, that is, postmodernism, with Dr. Angus Manoj.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.